I love irises. You probably heard in the last 90 minutes I had mentioned that, but the colors and the forms are just amazing. And I think the foliage, it just gives a wonderful texture to the garden even after the flowers are gone. Well, up next on Garden Talk, we're going to look at how to grow them, take care of them, how they're bred. I'm Jill Nadeau. This is Wisconsin Public Radio. And back with us today is Brock Vojtilevich. He's the master gardener and the president of the Madison Area Iris Society. Are you an iris lover? Do you have a favorite cultivar? What questions do you have about growing them, caring for them? We'd love to hear from you. So give us a call, 800-642-1234, or you can send an email. That's talk@wpr.org. Brock, thank you so much for being with us today.
Sure, my pleasure, Jill. It's great to be back on Garden Talk.
Well, we always like to have you on to hear about not only irises, but the Madison Iris Society sale, which is starting today, Friday.
It is indeed. We opened the sale at 9 a.m. and we had a line waiting at the door already.
Well, that's nice. And I'm glad you said door because it's raining in Madison right now. So you're not outside,
yeah.
You're inside.
It's a great day for shopping, right?
It is. It's a perfect day. Well, which makes sense because you can't really garden right now outside unless, for some reason you want to get wet. So what's a sale like this like? You walk in and what do you see?
So we're over at the West Madison Agricultural Research Station. So some people might be familiar with that. And we have a large assortment of iris cultivars available. We have them in baskets sorted and they're in alphabetical order, and we have photos for each variety so you can see what the flowers will look like.
Mm-hmm.
We have well over 200 cultivars available this year, and in particular we have a large selection of beardless irises, probably the best that we've ever had. So Siberian irises, Japanese irises, and of course, all our favorite bearded irises, especially the tall bearded.
It's amazing because people don't really realize there are different kinds, different varieties. So you had mentioned iris, Japanese, the Japanese iris, Siberian iris, the bearded. Am I missing? There's some dwarf varieties too, right?
Mm-hmm. They're included in the bearded, and
okay.
There are even more. We actually have an educational poster that shows different classes of irises. So for bearded, you start out early in the season with the dwarfs. They bloom around the same time as tulips.
Mm-hmm.
We have intermediates, which bloom a little bit later, a bit taller. And then we have our tall bearded. So this is another way that you can extend the season. You know, one comment that I often get is that people just love iris, wish they last longer. One way to do that at the end of the season is having a variety of classes. So dwarfs, intermediates, talls, and then Siberians bloom here, followed by Japanese. So you can have up to 2 months of iris bloom when have a sampling from different categories.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I don't think anybody's going to say, oh, I don't want 2 months of irises blooming in my garden because they are so pretty. So when we buy these, you're going to be buying the it's rhizomes, right?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what people should expect.
Mm-hmm.
So they are, rhizomes. They root, I should say.
And can we just plant those right away?
Yes, this is a great time to plant, actually, and it would give them enough time to get established before
mm-hmm.
the first frost.
Okay, and so that is important. We don't want to wait too long. I mean, I know that you can buy packages of irises, like when we buy our tulips, etc. And with a lot of times they tell us our tulips, our bulbs, we can plant them as long as you can dig into the earth and it's not frozen. Is that the same with iris?
No, not really. We mm-hmm. want to get them in the ground sooner so that they can get their system established and be secure for the winter.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they'll be okay for a few weeks
mm-hmm.
if they're not planted, but yeah, you should really get them in as soon as possible.
Okay. And we need to make sure that they're not too deep, correct?
That's true. That's a common error that gardeners make, in planting them too deep. Ideally, I'd like to see a little bit of the rhizome above the soil level.
Yeah, it's not intuitive at all. You think, okay, I'm going to definitely bury these because it's going to freeze and I don't want these to be frozen, but they want to peek out.
Yes, definitely. So that's a common mistake, to plant them too.
Right. Mm-hmm. We have a caller from Middleton. Hi, Susan. Go right ahead with your question.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having me on there. Both of you, of course, didn't catch your name.
Well, it's Brock.
Well, thank you. I got a set of iris that are been transplanted for over 60 years.
Oh,
probably closer to 70. Yeah, these were on my dad's farm when he grew up, and then when he moved into the city from a small town, he moved them there, and then he went out to, and that was in Missouri. He moved out to Nebraska, took a set out there, then moved back to Missouri a couple times, but he transplanted them everywhere we went. So they're a family tradition kind of thing.
That's really cool.
Yeah, irises can be great memories of friends or even people that we've lost.
Yeah. Now you have a question about iris borer.
Yeah. Part of it, that they're falling under that destruction from the iris borer. One, I'm trying to think of the best ways to get rid of it when they're in there, because a lot of people just have to throw out the whole plant. And I'm going, but these are rhizomes and of an old plant, so I don't want to throw it out. But I've heard, cutting back that part of the root and putting it in bleach. Other times I've had just poking them so that the gunk inside from the borer can dries out and the rest of the rhizome is okay.
Oh.
And put that trim back the leaves so the iris borer can't.
How do you deal with it, Brock?
Yeah, so this is a common because iris borer is the worst pest that attacks irises. I have to say, I have been so fortunate. I've never seen them in my gardens. I've never had to deal with them, but I've talked to so many people who are battling the iris borer. So I feel your pain. So I think the best way is prevention. So as a master gardener, we promote integrated pest management. And pesticides are the last line of defense. So let's start with prevention. Cleaning up the dead foliage at the end of the season in fall is a good preventative step to take because the eggs of the moth reside in that dried up foliage. So if we can get rid of that, burn it, bury it, bag it, just get rid of it, that will do a lot to prevent problems with iris borer. There is a treatment early in the season. What's been recommended to me is an insecticide that it's imidacloprid. And this can be around the time that forsythia bloom, but it has to be watered into the soil. And
that's a preventative? That's a preventative?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's a preventative. And if you find that you have iris borer, then as the caller mentioned, you have to get rid of the infested rhizomes. Well, you can just trim off the new growth because that often is okay. So you don't have to sacrifice the entire plant. Try to trim off any healthy areas. But discard anything that's soft and that the iris borer has infested. But bleach or using this insecticide, there's also a great application available through UW Extension. It's a one pager to is quite comprehensive and succinct about dealing with iris borer. But yes, you don't have to get rid of your whole plant. Just trim off all the infested and soft areas of the rhizome.
Yeah. So unless everything's infested, Susan, you still have hope. I've had them once. And I've grown irises for a long time. They're gross. It's, I mean, to put it lightly, it looks disgusting, but yeah, just cut it off, get rid of it. And I didn't have any problems after that. So, Brock, when you said to get rid of all the foliage, do you just cut them straight off and that's it?
Yes. Some people trim them down to the ground.
Okay.
But you need to discard any brown, dried up foliage. Mm-hmm. The season, everything is died back anyway. So mm-hmm. you can trim all the foliage off and remove it so that if there are egg there from moths, it will just, you know, be gone and they can't hatch.
Okay. Good to know. I probably am guilty of that. So I will definitely do better this year.
I think one of the reasons why I've never had it in my garden perhaps is I'm very diligent about fall cleanup. You know, whereas I leave other perennials standing, but with irises, you know, I cut them back.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's obviously your passion and you're breeding them. So you definitely want to be a little careful over there. We got an email from Sarah in Plymouth to say that her mother had a Beverly Sills iris in her garden. And Sarah's wondering where she might find one plant to put in her garden. Referring to a previous caller today, Sarah says she wants the Beverly Sills iris to be part of her library of comforting plants. We had a caller earlier when Melinda was on asking about comforting plants, her library of comforting mm-hmm. plants. So anyway, have you heard of Beverly Sills and do you know where she can get one?
Oh, yes. Beverly is always very popular. The beautiful pink iris, bearded iris, and named after an opera singer. Mm-hmm. I don't think Beverly Sills available at us this year, but it has been in the past. There are, you know, a number of growers who have it. We also have Breezeway Iris Garden close to Madison, just 15, 20 minutes up in Brooklyn, Wisconsin. They sell a wide variety of iris cultivars. I don't know if Beverly Sills is available this year, but it may be. Otherwise, you can do a search and there are growers. But I prefer to buy locally because you know that irises have been acclimated to our climate. Mm-hmm. And if they do well for others in this area, then there's a greater chance that they'll do well for you. So that's also advice that I give to buy locally if possible.
Okay. And Brock, you're breaking up just a bit. So what was the name of the iris growers near in Brooklyn?
It's Breezeway Iris Gardens.
Breezeway Iris Gardens in Brooklyn, Wisconsin. So
yes, check. There's a website.
Okay, perfect. So check there, Sarah. Is this something, though? I know that the Madison Iris Society has a Facebook page. So something that maybe she could post there, too?
Oh, absolutely. So if anybody has questions, please feel free to follow us on Facebook or send a message on Messenger, and we'll do our best to answer questions.
Yeah. And one thing that the your Iris Society is doing is that you have a new youth program initiative. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Okay. Sorry. Is this better?
Yes, it's a little bit better so far. Fingers crossed.
Okay. Okay. Fingers crossed. Yes. So I'm going to back up a little bit. For several years, we've been giving out coloring pages at the Garden Expo and also at our show at Olbrich in June. So coloring pages for children, for youth. And if they color them and bring them for sale, we give them a free rhizome, their choice.
Oh, okay.
And so we've been doing that for years. We decided that we have to take it to the next level or follow up. So we have come up with a variety of activities, you know, education opportunities for youth. In-garden events. And in fact, we're going to have a demonstration at our sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. So And if children have the coloring pages, they can bring them today or tomorrow to get their free rhizome.
What a great idea. So you're hoping that people or the kids will just get interested, and once they grow and see this growing before their eyes, that they'll be much more interested then in plants in general and irises in particular.
Exactly. We're hoping to inspire the next generation of gardeners to get them more connected to nature, digging in the dirt, and hopefully growing plants, their own food, ornamentals in the future. And I know this is something that Melinda Myers cares a lot about too, because she always mentions this at the end of all of her presentations. We have to inspire the next generation of gardeners.
Yes, absolutely. And she certainly has a lot of information on her website about stuff like that too. So let's talk a little bit about breeding and creating these new varieties. Now, this is not an easy kind of thing. Tell us what it's like and how you start and how long it takes.
And actually, Jill, I have to clarify, I do not hybridize yet. I'm hoping to in the future, but I am not quite there yet. But every year there are new varieties that come out from hybridizers, more beautiful varieties to tempt us. And, irises are getting more and more color combination, becoming more ruffled and showy. And, every year there are new varieties that come. But it involves crossing two parents, and then it's really a long process.
Yes.
So it takes years, because once you've done the cross and you have seedlings, they have to be observed. You have to see how well they grow for years, and you have to make some tough selections and discard anything that doesn't quite make the grade. Mm-hmm. So it's a long process that takes years. So I know that we do have a hybridizer, George Bacon from Breezeway does some hybridizing and has introduced many different varieties of its own.
And you crossbreed them, so make these decisions, and then you have to use the seed pods, which we all see the seed pods from our irises. So have you ever grown an iris from the seeds?
Honestly, I have not. I usually cut off the seed pods so that the energy is not going there. We want the energy to go to the plant itself. So,
when do you cut those off, Brock?
Actually, I cut off the stalks after the flower bloomed.
Oh, okay.
So then no seed pod in form. So we de-stalk.
Okay.
Yeah,
I've never done that, so I need to start doing that, I guess. Well, I've used the dried seed pod in like floral arrangements before, so I guess that's probably why I've never cut them off, but I guess that makes sense. So Eric in Fitchburg emailed to ask, are there good means to control and get rid of broadleaf weeds and thistle when they infest iris beds?
Sorry, anything to control weeds?
Yeah, because otherwise you have to dig them up and replant them. Do you use any, how do you get rid of weeds, like grass and things that grow in iris beds?
Honestly, I don't use any herbicides or any chemicals in my garden.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I have an area that I can manage with really pulling weeds. But I do know that others who have larger gardens will use pre-emergence to try to take care of those weeds before they appear. I know thistle has been really bad this year, and it's been hard to keep on top of weeds at times, especially the thistle. But I don't use any herbicides in my own garden.
Mm-hmm. So Eric, you're just going to have to pull. Sorry. But I've had instances where if the weeds have taken over, just dig up the rhizomes, break them up like you would be if you're going to be, if they're overcrowded, and then just start from scratch in a new bed.
Oh, yes. If they get in, that's great advice. Like just lift out, separate, Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Now, if you're going to be doing that, if like you're like going to be, you know, open, you're getting a little overcrowded, you're going to be breaking up your bed. I've heard different things from different people. Some say you just put those rhizomes back in the ground right away. Others say, no, you should wait, let them dry out a little bit. What do you usually recommend?
Oh, I recommend replanting as soon as possible.
Okay.
Yeah, there's really no reason to wait.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you're healthy, there's no reason.
And if you do wait, it's still not going to cause any problem, though, is it?
No, they can be underground for 7 weeks, mm-hmm. and it won't be a problem. But again, you want to give them about 6 weeks to get established before the hard frost.
Okay. Of course, then I've had them where they've thrown them on like a compost pile and had them grow the next year.
Oh, so. Yes. So you might think they're dead, but they're not.
They're not. No, they do really, really well in adverse circumstances. So
absolutely. They're really, really hardy perennials.
They really are. Yep, they certainly are. Where's the happy spot for irises? Is it a sunny spot, or does it depend on?
Yeah.
Okay.
The more sun, the better.
Mm-hmm.
They will flower better. So at least 6 hours. But again, the more you have, the better. And mm-hmm. they drain soil. They don't like wet feet. So good drainage. I have very sandy soil, so that's not a problem. I know our gardeners clay and drainage can be an issue.
Now, some of our native varieties, though, do like to grow along rivers and things, right?
Yes, exactly. Like blue flag and mm-hmm. Siberia, like more water as well. Japanese iris, like mm-hmm. consistent moisture.
Now, we have to be careful with, I think, is it the yellow flag that can tend to be
yes.
invasive?
Yes, exactly. Pseudochorus.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The yellow flag.
So when,
interestingly enough, we have Japanese irises. They're called Sudada. And they're a cross between Japanese and Sada and the Pseudochorus. However, they're sterile and safe. So they are, you know, they will not be invasive at all.
Okay.
And they're quite beautiful. So you just have to stay away from the Pseudochorus.
So when we're buying one in a, you know, a gardening center, what should we be looking for? Like when we buy them in those little bags, you know, whatever. How do we know we're getting a healthy iris rhizome?
If you're talking about like a bearded iris rhizome?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you want to make sure that it's firm, not soft at all. If it has some foliage and it's green, then it hasn't, you know, dried out completely. But yeah, just make sure that the rhizome is nice and firm. You don't see any holes in it, anything burrowing in it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So. Sounds good. And then before we go, give us the information about the sale today and Saturday, Friday, Saturday.
Sure. So we are open until 5 o'clock today, and tomorrow will be, I didn't realize the time went by so fast, 9 to 5 tomorrow. I do recommend that people go to the sale earlier because last year we actually sold out.
Oh.
So Saturday afternoon we were sold out, and I felt bad because some people were a little disappointed. But we have more inventory this year. We have a larger selection. So we're over at the West Madison Agricultural Research Station on Mineral Point Road, 8502 Mineral Point Road.
Okay, wonderful. Well, I'm probably going to stop by this afternoon, Brock, so I will see you there.
Oh, wonderful.
Okay.
Thanks, Jill.
Thanks so much, Brock. Brock Vojta-Levich is the Master Gardener and President of the Madison Area Iris Society. Hope you can check it out. And thank you so much for being with us today in Garden Talk. Thanks to Jeff Robbins for being on the board today, and for Joel, Joel Patton. No, sorry, Joel, for taking calls. And we'll see you next week.